Well, over the last 3 weeks, I think coming into 4 weeks, we've been in the series where we're talking about loving God and loving others. And I think the loving God part, it's a little bit easier than the loving others. The loving God, I know sometimes is difficult because we go through circumstances, we go through crises in our lives, and sometimes we wonder, God, where you're at, or we see things happening in our world, and we're going, what's going on? And sometimes we can kind of doubt God and question God a little bit, but then after you start to really kind of pour into God, meaning to lean into Him and get into His Word and understand who He is, how He's been pursuing you, how He's been wooing you into a relationship through His Son, and how much He loves you. It's easier to love God. But then the other part, the second greatest commandment, to love thy neighbor as thyself, that's not so easy, is it? I mean, relationships are difficult. I don't know about you, but it seems like the simplest thing can fracture a solid friendship. The simplest thing can mess up a marriage. And they're so fragile. And I tell Dwayne, my brother-in-law, all the time, I have a gift. I have a gift to offend people. And I don't even know how I do it most of the time. And it just shows us that relationships are just fragile. And I know there's a lot of people in this room that you have broken relationships. And the problem with broken relationships, they create a heaviness in you. They create hurt in you. They create a burden in you. And God has been trying to declare through this whole series that it's possible to have peace in broken relationships. It's possible to see an enemy to become a friend. It's possible to receive forgiveness and to give forgiveness. And in the process, when we make these steps and we go towards God and do kingdom living, meaning that we follow Jesus and we do what His instructions are, that all of a sudden we do get peace. Now, I know peace isn't always possible because of the damage in some of the relationships. And I know a lot of the relationships, unfortunately, a lot of the brokenness are in families. And it's just sad to see that. And I really believe that God wants to give us peace. And that's why this verse I've been trying to burn into your brain. I hope if you can memorize one verse this year, it's this verse out of Romans chapter 12, verses 18. And it says, if it is possible, and if you remember, that's Paul going, if it's possible, meaning that it might not be possible, but it is also possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I love how he says that. He says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, that means that as far as it depends on you, we've been talking about, is that you need to do whatever God is asking you to do to make sure that there's peace in the relationship. You have to go the extra mile. Well, I don't want to, Kelly. I don't want to have to go say I'm sorry. I don't want to humble myself. I don't want to confess I've done something wrong to somebody. Well, the problem is you're going to be walking around with that burden and you're never going to experience the peace of God. In fact, we've even seen that if our relationships are broken and we don't try to heal them, the sacrifices that we make before God are meaningless. In fact, he said last week, if you remember, he said, if you recognize that you have a broken relationship or you've sinned against a brother or sister, leave the altar and go make things right. He says that's how serious this is, because he says it brings us peace, because the quality of your relationships in your life determine the quality of your life. Now, there's a couple things that we said. There's some action steps that you have to take, and these are not easy. The first one is, when you've wronged, go and repent. So when you've wronged somebody, you've sinned against somebody, you got to go. You have to do whatever God has asked you to do, whatever it is, going that extra mile, and do it. Everything about pursuing peace, everything about what we've been talking about is about us doing the Word of God. Not passively sitting back and doing nothing, but you have to go and repent. And repent is this, saying I'm sorry. And confessing what you've done, not making any excuses. Not saying because you did this or because they did this or because of my emotional state at that point or because of this or because of that. It's simply, I'm sorry. and I accept my responsibility. Now, if you've been wronged by somebody, we said the step that you need to do is to go and forgive. Well, I don't want to go and forgive them. I want to hold on to the grudge. Well, you're holding on to something that's a weight, something that you are never going to receive peace unless you go. Well, you don't know the offense and how great it is. I understand some offenses are great. I understand some of them almost feel like they're unforgivable. But you have to understand forgiveness, when you forgive somebody, gives you freedom. It sets you completely free. It's not about the other person. And so you notice both of these steps are you have to go when we've been wronged, somebody sins against us, or if I've sinned against somebody, we have to go. You can't just passively sit by and think that the relationships are going to get mended. But now we've got to talk about a little different issue this week. And it's an issue of how far do you let them go? How far do I extend myself? That's an important question that we need to resolve. But there's something about making relationships mend and seeing restoration and seeing an enemy become a friend that moves us, doesn't it? I was up at Shush Mountain this week with my wife, and I was doing a mobile office, which my office had the most beautiful office. It overlooked Bel Air Lake. It had nice trees changing colors. I almost didn't want to come back to my office here, but I got so much work done. I mean, it was amazing. But, when I was there, I had one of those brain moments where I was like, I couldn't think. I just got stuck as I was thinking about the sermon. So I went in and I just clicked on the TV. And we don't have cable TV at our house. And now I know why, because there's really nothing on, 100 and plus channels. But On Golden Pond came on. And if you've ever seen that movie, the language isn't very good in it. But I have to confess, so it got to this point in the movie where the daughter and the father, they've had a broken relationship that was so far gone. All of a sudden there was forgiveness. All of a sudden there was mending. All of a sudden there was peace. You know what I did? I started tearing up and crying. And I'm like going, oh my goodness, either I'm getting really old and I have a grandchild and I'm getting emotional, or actually it's true. When we see forgiveness, when we see healing of relationships, when we see brokenness done away with, it brings great joy to the heart. Now I just got to be careful. I can't see any sappy movies anymore with my wife. Otherwise, I'll be crying with her. So there's something about that, and it's worth pursuing. But it takes two people, though. We've talked a lot about our responsibility, but it takes two people. The other person has to be willing to work with you. The other person also has to be humble, willing to hear what you have to say, willing to work on the relationship, willing to look at it from your perspective as well and show empathy to you. The other person has to be willing to lay down their right to be right. And let me just tell you, doing marriage counseling, this is tough for people to do. People, you have two people when they're at ends, and they're at the opposite end, and they both think that they're right. For them to lay down that right to be right, most people have a hard time doing that. And the couples that don't do that, they'll continue to argue and continue to struggle, and then you'll see brokenness fractured to the point where there's usually divorce. But in the relationships that I've got to work with that have actually laid their right to be right down, and they started to hear the other person, and they went there, you got to see healing. But it takes two. Marvin Gaye wrote this in one of his songs. One can have a dream, baby. Two can make a dream so real. One can talk about being in love, but only two know how it feels. Because it takes two, baby. It takes two, me and you. In current times, just sort of not to leave out our current generation, DJ Easy Rock said it this way. It takes two to make a thing go right. If I had the high voice, I would do it for you, but I can't do that. But it's true. It takes two people willing to work on a relationship and try to make things go better. But what do you do when you get to the point where you're struggling and you're going there and it just seems to make the relationship worse? And the other person doesn't want to work on it. Well, we've already said, you do everything as far as it depends on you. And that's how we got this statement. You can have peace even when there is not peace in the relationship. And that's a very significant statement to get your mind around, because you're not going to have every relationship have the reconciliation that we long and hope for, because some people don't want it. And so what do you do with those people? And so the big question is, how long does it depend on me? Well, here's the simple answer. As long as God is asking you to do stuff, you keep doing it. But Kelly, it just gets worse and worse. If God is His Spirit is telling you that you need to lay down your will, that you need to go and make amends, you need to do this, then you do it. How long? As long as it takes. But then what do you do with the person where you keep going to them, and finally God gives you a peace that you don't go anymore? What do you do with how long do you let somebody slap your hands? How long do you let somebody say harsh words to you? How long do you let somebody bite your hand? How long do you take that abuse? There's not an answer for that. But here's what we can do: is we can find peace when we've done all that we can do. And you actually have to do something. You have to put up a boundary for these people. These people who you've tried to work with, and you've tried to do your part, and they just will not change. The Bible calls them, and you're not going to like this, some of you, fools. Our definition for this morning is: foolish people or fools continually behave in ways that hurt themselves or hurt others. You see, there are people who, that they are hurt so bad to themselves, they've never took the time to get the healing, or they like the feeling of being hurt. They like the drama in their life, so that they will continue to create drama. You see, a foolish person, it kind of expects the situation around them to change, not them to change. A foolish person expects the other person to change and not them. A foolish person will never see it from another person's perspective. A foolish person will always say, I'm right, they're wrong. A foolish person will always think that their words are wise and that they can do no wrong. Now, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 26, Solomon talks about this. And I know that some of this is going to sound a little bit unloving this morning, but we have to make it clear. We've got to do everything that is possible. But we weren't designed necessarily to always go back and take abuse. And I know some of you have been abused emotionally, and some of you have been abused physically. And for that, it's tragic, and I'm sorry, and I pray that God brings healing to you, and you can forgive the other person, so you can become the person that God wants you to be. But for you, reconciliation might not mean that you're actually going to be best friends. For you, reconciliation might look like you've done everything that's possible, you've forgiven, and you've allowed God to take care of the rest. But that foolish person, we've got to identify them, and sometimes you've got to put that, if you want to call it a barrier, between you and them. Because this is what a foolish person is. He says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Simply, it's not worth arguing with a foolish person. You've done all that you can do. You've went back and you said, this is what I have done to offend you. I repent. I'm sorry. forgive me. Or you've went to them and even said, hey, you've wronged me. This is how you've hurt me. And I forgive you. But all they do is keep hurting you. You get into the conversations and the conversations, and I call it the tit-for-tat conversations. This is where somebody says, you did this to me, therefore I did this. And then the other person goes, well, you did this to me, so therefore I did this. So therefore it's your fault. And the tit-for-tat is always, because you did this, I did this. You've been in those conversations. It's a foolish conversation, isn't it? To try to talk to somebody who just wants to argue back and forth, and there's no wisdom at all, there's no seeing it from a different person's perspective, there's no desire in the heart to actually heal the relationship. And besides, a foolish person, they always think they're wise. They always think that they're right. You're not going to convince them otherwise. Don't do the tit-for-tat stuff. Marriage couples, please don't do that. It's going to destroy your marriage. Young people, don't do the tit-for-tat with parents. It creates division. Because what happens is we start to elevate the conversations and the hurt goes deeper and deeper. And the foolish person, Solomon tells us, they'll just think they're wise anyways because they just beat you down. And they'll walk away from those conversations and go, I won. They just don't get it. They just don't understand who they are. And you never would change their mind. Then he goes on. This is a little bit different. It says, like cutting off one's feet or drinking violence is the sending of a message by the hand of a fool. Like a lame man's leg that hangs limp is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like tying a stone in a sling is the giving of honor to a fool. Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or a passerby. Simply put, that means that fools don't listen to wisdom. Fools aren't going to hear you. Fools are going to continue to hurt you. Fools are going to be like the drunkard that's just trying to wound people. And that's how you know if it's a person that you may need to put a boundary up. And when we're talking about boundaries, you got to understand this about boundaries before we get too much further. They're important to set up, but a boundary is not an immovable object. Like the Great Wall of China. That's something you don't move. Boundaries can be moved. Boundaries, if somebody actually comes towards you, you've set a boundary, they've said foolish things and they've hurt you, and they come to you and they say they're sorry, then you let that boundary down and you have the conversation. Because God's always working in people. A lot of times I hear boundaries are walls and we don't move them. Sometimes we look at a boundary wrong, but sometimes there has to be a line in the sand. No more. No more hurting me. Can't do it. And you're actually protecting yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that because a fool is going to continue to hurt you. And then Solomon says this great thing in verse 11. As a dog returns to its vomit. Isn't that gruesome? I mean, have you ever seen a dog do this? What do they do when they return to the vomit? They eat it. And here's what I still don't get. And I have a dog. And I'm okay with dogs, and I have nothing against them, but I don't understand the dog owners who let the dog lick the ice cream off of their own ice cream cone. And I don't understand the dog owners that let the dog lick the inside of their mouths. Because the dog returns to the vomit, and you don't know what you're getting in your mouth. I'm just saying. He says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Fools, people who don't want to resolve relationship struggles, people who are unwilling to listen to wisdom of the Word of God, they will continue to do the same thing over and over and over and over. Just like the dog goes back to its vomit. It's destructive, it's gross. And so you have to identify sometimes, there are foolish people in your life. And when God has said you've done all that you can, you have to be willing to set up that boundary there. There's an incredible book that when I went to Cornerstone that they had us read, and it was from Henry Cloud and John Townsend, called Boundaries. If you're struggling with somebody and they just keep hurting you over and over and over and over, no matter what you do, you try everything possible, I would encourage you to take this book and read it. Because they do a great job at showing us how to set up a boundary that is healthy. One that's not just I'm protecting myself from the person and I'm never going to let them in again, but it's a boundary where going, okay, wait, you can't go past here unless you want to work on a relationship together. It's a profound book, so if you're struggling with it, maybe that's all you need to do for this series is actually go and look at that book and take a read. And then in Galatians, if you have your Bible, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6. This boundaries are something that we have to learn about. And Paul tries to teach about this in Galatians a little bit, trying to get us to understand, because you're like going, now, Kelly, this doesn't sound super, super loving because you're calling people foolish. You're saying that there are people who are always going to hurt you. And no matter what you do, they're never going to forgive you. They're never going to repent. They're going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over. Aren't we supposed to love them? Yes. Love transcends that. You can love somebody from a distance. It doesn't mean you necessarily let them in when they're hurting you. But this is something that God says that we're not designed to have relationships like a lot of people are doing relationships. And we're not designed to be a doormat either. God does not expect us to do that. And Paul, as he's speaking in Galatians, he tries to get us to understand that, you know, when do you put up a boundary and when not? And he says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Well, now, Kelly, you just said that it's okay every now and then to put up a boundary. But what about that person that you have the broken relationship with and they're having some problems? Shouldn't I carry that burden? No. Because we have to understand what Paul means here by burdens. It's burros in the Greek, which actually means too heavy. The way that I would describe it, this right here, this is a burden. Because if I tried to pick up all this right here, I would blow my back out, wouldn't I? Or I'd have a hernia. Or there'd be no way on earth I could even move it. So a burden that Paul starts out with here is something that happens maybe in life. Something came along, a tragedy. Maybe it was a sickness. Maybe there's a financial loss. They lost their job and they've fallen into a hard time. Or maybe there's some just tragic things that are going on and the burden is too heavy for them to carry. Well, Paul says you and I are supposed to walk with people like that. When there's people in our sphere of influence, people that we love, when they have a burden that something that is too heavy, yes, you have to get involved. You don't have a choice. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, when you know somebody's lost somebody that they loved, it is your job to call, write a letter, take a meal. That's a burden. Somebody's lost their job. They've tried everything humanly possible to get another job and they can't get back on their feet. It's our responsibility as Christians because something came along and it became unbearable to them. Somebody gets cancer. It's our responsibility to walk alongside them. That's what he's talking about, a burden, something that's too big. So we're responsible to help bear any burden that has become too big. So that is our responsibility. But then he goes on in verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he's not, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. And so basically you have Paul saying, hey, if you think you're all puffed up and you think you're more than another person, stop doing it. Evaluate your heart. Because a lot of times when somebody has a burden, something that's so heavy that fell on them that they can't carry, people often go, oh, I can't believe such and such. I can't believe they got themselves into this situation. I can't believe this, and that. And then you want to give them counsel. Do you think anybody that is carrying a burden that was placed on them that's too heavy wants to hear how bad of a person they are, or how they mismanaged something, how they should have had funds for their emergencies? No. What Paul's saying in that moment, he says, when you help somebody, make sure you evaluate your heart. Because you could be in this situation. And you might require their help. And then it goes on in the next verse. It says, each one should test his own actions. So we test ourselves to make sure that our motives are pure. And he says, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. And so I just want to say this one blanket statement. It says, nobody should ask someone to carry something that they're not willing to carry themselves. So that's what a burden is. It's too heavy. Now Paul in this next verse kind of switches a little bit on us. And it's almost like a contrast, because it says that we're supposed to carry one another's burdens. And then he says this, for each one should carry his own load. Does this sound contrasting? I just want to differentiate the two. This is our load, a backpack. I can carry this, right? This is way too heavy. No one person can carry that burden. It's not possible. Well, this is our load. You and I were designed to carry loads, and we're supposed to carry our own load. What's in my load? My family? My mortgage? My consumer's power bill? My job? Oh, my emotions? My words? Those are all things that you're responsible to carry. But in our Christian circles, because we think it's not loving to put up boundaries sometimes, because we got this confusion between a load and a burden. Burdens we carry. Burdens we join together, we walk alongside, we help them, we do everything humanly possible. A load, and you're not going to like this. You were designed to carry it. The person was designed to carry it. And the problem is, a lot of times in our culture, we dismiss people from carrying their own load. We make excuses. We have people who continually get into financial problems over and over and over. You have people who say hurtful words over and over and over, and that's why they've broken relationships. We excuse behaviors. We excuse the me part of it. And Paul says, you have a load, and you're responsible. And here's another statement. He says, when we feel responsible for carrying one another's load, we rob them of experiencing the outcomes of their decisions. You see, there's a lot of times people make bad decisions when they're carrying their own load, and they need to feel the weight of that. They need to be responsible for that. Because do you remember the first time, some of you, especially over here, won't remember the first time because you haven't moved out of home yet, but you moved out of home and you paid your first rent, you paid your first house payment. Do you remember how proud you start to feel? Remember if you paid off a vehicle, remember how good that felt? When you actually pay your bills and you don't have that pressure looming over the top of you, remember how good that feels? Well, it's important, because when we're carrying our own load, all of a sudden it inspires us that we're doing our part. And the problem is, though, is in our culture, we've said, here, you take my load. We're not designed to carry each other's loads. It is not healthy. Let me tell you from experience, I have done this too many times because in my greatest weakness and my greatest weakness and strength and something like that is compassion. I love people. I want to help people when I can. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to take another load, and it's kind of the way that I would tell you is it's like you're fighting for a relationship for somebody, and you want it more than they want it. And this happens to me because in counseling quite often, and marriage counseling, so I've had to put some boundaries for myself. Because all of a sudden, I'm taking my load, which I have, which is already stressful enough because I have four children, I got grandbaby, I got house cars, and I got everything else, and I got my behaviors, and I got all my stuff. But then all of a sudden, I'm taking all these other burdens. I'm taking these loads that I'm not supposed to be taking. And a lot of us do the same thing. We take the load of somebody else and then we put it on ourselves, and next thing you know, it changes us. It destroys us. A load, if you cannot take somebody else's load. Because this is what will happen. You'll bring it home. You'll get frustrated. You'll get sick of the person. And in fact, because of me sometimes taking too much loads, I break. I had to come to a conclusion that I had to set some boundaries. And my wife is my accountability person. And sometimes this is another non-Christian statement that we won't like to hear. Unconditional love necessitates conditional assistance. There's times, because I love somebody so much, that I have to say no. I have to say, no, I can't do that because it breaks me. And my wife was starting to say, Kelly, you're taking on too much from these people. You know what it started to affect? Our relationship. Everything that we talked about was everybody but us. And all of a sudden I'm going, I'm taking the load. I don't need their load. I'm not the Savior. You're not the Savior. Only Jesus can help them. They can only help themselves when they want to help themselves. We can never force anybody to make a decision to carry their own load and their own responsibilities. So sometimes you got to let people fall. Because everyone should carry their own load. Now, burden. Oh yeah, we pitch in. We do everything possible when somebody's got a weight on them that no one can handle by themselves. That is what we're supposed to do. And as we do that, we start to put out boundaries occasionally. The next verse is verse 7. And it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I like what he says in verse 10 as well. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially for those who belong to the family of believers. Paul says, let's not tire of doing good. Let's never, because it's easy. When we try to carry a load, it's easy for us to get discouraged. It's easy for us to get frustrated with people. You see, for me, when somebody comes to me and says, Kelly, my heating bill just got up to $1,500, and I can't make my car payment, and I can't do this, and I have a cell phone, and I can't do this. It's easy for me to do something. It's easy for me to say no, because I can't meet that need financially. You see, for some people, that's a very difficult thing, because God has blessed them and they have a lot of money and they want to help people because they've been instructed that they're supposed to help people. Well, if the person's not carrying their load and the person's not doing what they're supposed to do and taking their responsibility, we're just enabling people. And so somebody that has money, sometimes you really struggle with this. And Biggie Smalls says it this way: more money, more problems. Meaning that it's hard for you to say no. But if that person keeps coming back to you over and over and keeps asking for money over, or they keep asking for more emotional stuff from you over and over, you have to be willing to say no. The biggest thing in setting a boundary is it's understanding the difference between a load and a burden. First of all, you got to go. Do whatever it takes to resolve the relationship struggle. You can't get resolve. They keep hurting you. They keep insulting you. They make it worse and worse, and you keep trying, and all of a sudden God gives you peace. Then you need to set a boundary and say, no more. I'm not going to let them hurt me anymore. We have to do that. That makes sense. We have to let people carry their own load. That person has to be responsible for their own actions. The words that they say, the things that they continue to do to hurt people, they have to be held responsible. That's their load. You can't ever force that. So you go, here's a boundary. But if God comes to you at any point, whether they come to you at any point, then you got to be willing to take that boundary and say, I'm moving it aside, and I'm going to let God come through. And let him bring peace. Because God wants you to have peace. This is why we spent so much time on this relationships, because God wants us to have peace. And when we have broken relationships, we can't get peace. But we can have peace in the relationship even when there's not peace in the relationship, because we've done all that God has asked. And then you set these boundaries. It's healthy. It's the right thing to do. It may not sound loving, but it's the thing that we're supposed to do. I want to pray this verse over you. It's a verse that Paul writes, and it's about relationships. Because here's what I know. The only way that we're going to have peace in relationships is when we are passionately pursuing peace. That's the only way. And it's worth it. And Paul has other words to say, and I think they're beautiful words. And so whatever relationship struggle you have right now, whatever you're feeling, the overwhelmed feelings of trying to set boundaries, determine loads and burdens, just hear these words from Paul. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. God wants to give you peace, but you got to be willing to go. And you got to be willing to establish boundaries sometimes. So who's the person that you need to go to that you keep putting off? Who's the person where you need to finally say enough is enough? Where you have to set the boundary. Because you're not designed to carry the load and take all that abuse. Set the boundary, make it clear, and have somebody hold you accountable to it. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and God, we recognize that Relationships are something that you've created us for. Relationships are things that bring us great joy, bring us happiness, but they can bring us great sorrow and deep, deep pain. God, I would ask that you would help us to be a body of believers who are willing to do what you've asked us to do as your children. To go and repent if we've wronged someone. And if somebody's wronged us, that we go and forgive. And after we've done all that we can do, Lord, that you would bring peace in those relationships. But in the other ones that we can't get peace, God, would you give us an insight? Give us your wisdom on how to set these clear boundaries. And Lord, I would just ask, Lord, that you would bring peace into the lives of a lot of people right now that have so much brokenness from these relationships. May your Spirit just move into them and heal them and renew them and give them a new hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.